This is the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by Light Up Media Group. Now, your host, former USA Baseball National Team coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Inside Pitch. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Hey, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com, a great resource for audiobooks. You know what? Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/insidepitch. Do you know that there's over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MPS player? Hey, we're excited today. What a great topic. This may be one of the ultimate topics, one of the most important topics for baseball players anywhere in the world. We're going to be talking about vision training, how critical it is to baseball players, where to start, what type of training, and how coaches can even implement it in their practice plans. There's a lot of great information, so we're going to get started in a few minutes, but let me tell you about our guest. Our guest, Ryan Harrison, a certified sports performance vision trainer from Slow the Game Down, and I have to say, he's also the son of one of the most famous sports vision doctors in the world, Dr. Bill Harrison. Dr. Bill Harrison's been training athletes for over 40 years, from as early as George Brett, and we all know George Brett, 1971, all the way to currently the Toronto Blue Jays and the 2014 World Champion San Francisco Giants. Now, let me tell you about Ryan, because Ryan's been doing this also a long time. A certified sports performance vision trainer, has a degree in exercise physiology from the University of California, Davis. Since 1998, Ryan's been working with the International Softball Collegiate and Amateur Softball teams. Ryan's also has been a key consultant to numerous international professional collegiate football, baseball, softball teams all over the world. This includes USA, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the women's national teams, MLB teams. Now listen to the list of some of the MLB teams that he's been working with. The Philadelphia Phillies, the Toronto Blue Jays, San Francisco Giants, Atlanta Braves, Cincinnati Reds, Tampa Bay, I mean, all the way to the Washington Nationals. He's personally trained over 100 major league roster players on the visual side of the game. Among the top players that he has trained is Carlos Delgado, Carlos Beltran, Mike Sweeney, a player that played for me in Team USA, Jason Worth, and Delmon Young. Now, the Sports Eyesight software is a result of his goal to developing training products so that everyone could benefit at a fraction of cost of having his training and without the need to go to a specialty clinic. We are currently taping the show from Vancouver, Canada at the International Sports Group and BC Baseball's Vancouver Coaches Clinic, where we have over 250 coaches already registered, and Ryan will be speaking several times to the coaches. This will be an exciting weekend. We have some great speakers. So right away, let's get started, because you know on the show, we don't want to waste any time. Let's get started and welcome Ryan. Ryan, welcome to the Inside Pitch.
Peter, thanks for having me here. It's going to be an exciting time up here in Vancouver, and I'm excited about talking to all these coaches and give them a new insight on the game.
Now, I'll tell you what, this is a new one for the Inside Pitch, because, you know, we haven't had a vision expert on yet. But, you know, as a baseball coach myself, you know, I feel obviously it is maybe the best topic, if not the most important topic for our young coaches. But let's start with this. I got a question. The first question I have is because, you know, meeting you and your dad, I read an article a long time ago. Now, it may have been in Sports Illustrated. It may have been, I can't remember exactly the article, but it was like four pages. And it hit really well because the article pretty much said to parents, coaches, and players that, listen, if you say anything to your players prior to going into competition, now let's take hitting for the example, going into competition right before they hit or what, right before they're pitching, if you say anything, that's going to stop, and you can explain it, obviously, that's going to stop the ability for them to track anything with their vision. Can you tell us about that?
Definitely. You know, a question I always ask players is, you know, when you're going good, what do you think about? And they say, not much at all. And how well do you see things when you're going good? Oh, really good. Ball looks like a beach ball. And then on the other side, when you struggle, which we don't like to think about, is how well do you see the ball then? So, oh, it's like a golf ball. That thing is a bullet coming at me. And what are you thinking about? Oh, about a lot of stuff. And that's the problem, is when they're thinking about a lot of stuff, they struggle seeing. And this happens to us every day in life. This happens to us on the field. But even a good example is reading a book. When we grab our book and we start reading, and we have all the intentions of trying to read and take in the information, but we start thinking about our wives, we start thinking about our kids, we start thinking about, you know, going to the ball field, and next thing you know, you go, what the heck did I just read? It's very difficult to think and see at the same time.
Now I know what my problem is with reading. I can't remember anything, and that's my problem.
And it has a lot to do with focus and deciding where you want to focus. Sometimes we want to be focused in the thought process, and sometimes we want to be focused in the visual process, and maybe in different aspects. It might be the smelling process, the tasting process, whatever it is. But as a hitter, as a position player, you got to be focused on a visual target at the time of action. And if the players are worried about where their hands are, they're worried about what their feet are doing, they're worried about making a mistake, and they're thinking about different stuff, they're listening to mom, dad, coach, whoever yell at them, then they're focused on the wrong stuff. And it makes it very difficult to compete at a high level and consistently if they're not focused on the correct stuff.
Now, let's take your parents. You know, we go to games a lot, and parents are always trying to correct, you know, everything from the stands. You know, human nature, I mean, they mean well. They want to help. You know, it's their kid out there. They're not educated, obviously, in the field of vision and what we're talking about here. So extremely important that we educate our parents and even our coaches, because there's a lot of coaches that talk to kids, and stopping, you know, trying to teach these kids before they do that, correct?
Yes. I mean, I you know, I'm guilty. I got two sons, and it's very easy to want to help them. We always want to do good for them. We want to make them do better and make them feel better. But at the same time, they have to be able to compete in a place where they can focus. And whether it's at school or whether it's driving, whether it's at the field, they can't handle a lot of chirping, a lot of instruction, and be able to perform at the same time. There's a time and place for the instruction, and it's not during the action of the game. So, you know, even, you know, I do some drills that obviously we're being podcast here, we can't show the drills, but we shoot wiffle or ping pong balls at about 140 balls a minute. And we add two colors. We add an orange and a white. And yeah, they can react to the balls coming at them. But what they can't do is make the decision of what they're seeing and reacting properly when they're worried about thinking about what their body's doing, when they're asked questions, when they're focused on the wrong stuff. It's very hard for them to see and react accurately.
All right, what about, let's say there's nobody yelling at them about their hands and all this when it comes to hitting, and we'll use hitting as our main thing here. What about noise?
Well, I think, distractions are huge in affecting a person's vision and how they handle distractions. So even if parents aren't yelling at them, there may be a lot of distractions going on in the kid's head. They may be thinking about, I don't want to fail, I don't want to do all this. And so it's really, you know, whether it's noise, whether it's music, you want them to understand what they need to focus on at the right time. Do they need to be focused on the umpire? Do they need to be focused on the second baseman? Do they need to be focused on the pitcher? And the reality is, as a hitter, they need to be focused on learning how to get their eyes to the release point to recognize it as quick as possible. And when they're focused in the here and now, those noises tend to go away. And that's why when you hear people talk about, man, when I was at my best, things slowed down and I really, you know, wasn't paying attention to other stuff. And I know that noise was going, but it didn't seem very loud at all. And I was tuned into what I was seeing. And that's what performance in any sport. Guys are very highly visual and less focused on the other stuff going on.
What's interesting, you said slow the game down, because your website is slowthegamedown.com. So, you know, coaches, players, and parents, go to the website. There's a lot of good information there. But we'll also have some things on our website that Ryan has. We'll hope to be able to have the article also that explains, you know, so you can give it to your parents and they can get a little educated. So we're hoping that'll help some of your parents. So I hope everybody's listening, because this is good stuff. When you talk about slow the game down and see the ball from the, you know, the release point, give us an idea how young players can start to work on that.
Well, I think, you know, when we talk about vision, you know, we look at it from many perspectives. One is there is a clarity issue, okay, and then there is a skill level. And then there is a function level of how to use their eyes on the field or in the action. And, you know, barring some of the other skill sets and the clarity issue and looking at what to look at, most of them You know, even at the pro level, when I ask players, where are you looking? I have no idea. I'm looking at his hat. I'm looking at his face. I'm looking at his glove. And they get caught staring, and they get away from recognizing the release point. So one of the things is we have a small focal area of vision. We tend to want to think we can see everything. But when we look for everything, we see information, but we don't get a lot of detailed information. And when we talk about that, we talk about it as a softer focus, trying to see everything at the same time. But when they're fine-tuned their focus on detail, looking for the right in the right spot, that's where things slow down. That's where the brain takes in the visual information more efficiently and get them to react. So part of it is learning for the players before they get to the plate is understanding where the guy's release point is and knowing where is that coming from and how can I get my eyes there best to be able to pick it up, process it, and react to it accurately.
So they can actually start working on that on deck when between innings, when the pitcher's warming up, or during the game if they're the on-deck hitter?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even a better place to start is playing catch. You know, most guys, as coaches, we know that it's very frustrating that players can't play catch. Well, a lot of it is they're in that soft focus and they're not very target-oriented. They're not picking up the ball. And you can be lazy in certain, you know, speeds on there, but it's a habit that they can learn to practice is learning how to pick up the ball out of the release point when they're playing catch with someone.
That's a great idea.
And then they can do it, you know, learn how to look for it on the field, watching the pitcher. And, you know, we all yell at this, watch the pitcher, watch the pitcher. Well, you know what? Sometimes we're all watching, but we're not seeing. And they got to know what to look for and how to look for it.
Yeah, so it's easy to, I mean, because you hear this a lot, you're right, when somebody's hitting, say, watch the ball. Well, it's easy to say that because, I mean, but where do you watch the ball? You know, I mean, maybe they saw it, maybe they're picking it up halfway.
Well, you know, one thing, you know, Peter, I always joke around a little bit is, you know, we all yell from T-ball up to the big leagues, watch the ball, watch the ball, watch the ball. Well, I guarantee you that no hitter's ever stepped in the box and said, whatever I do, I'm not going to watch the ball.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that. The reason I bring it up is, you know, I do a lot of coaching clinics like you do, and that's one of the things I tell coaches, you know, exactly what you just said. I'm thinking, I mean, we're right on the same page because, you know, why would a kid, or even like when, I mean, I know it's something different, but someone says, you know, throw strikes. Well, you know, that, what do you think I'm trying to do? You know, I mean, it's the same philosophy, right? I mean, so we have to be careful how we pick our words. But what I really like, because we were going to get to the catching part and the throwing part, what I really like what you said was see the ball coming out of the hand when you're playing catch. Because that's going to help you train for hitting, or and it's going to help you even as a young kid learning how to catch a ball.
Yeah, it creates the right habits of you know, people. Young kids are scared of ball. Well, if they see the ball, they're going to give themselves a chance. But if they just generally see it, then they're going to be a little bit more nervous and bouncing around. And part of watching the ball, or part of looking for the ball, or understand what to see, is one is having calm eyes, having relaxed eyes. And if they have a lot of movement going on, whether it's up and down, bouncing around, moving, whatever it is, or fear, those get in the way of them learning how to see it. But once they have that confidence of knowing how to see it, then some of those other fears tend to go away.
Well, I love that. And I'm thinking, I've been in this about 33 years, met a lot of coaches, listened to a lot of coaches speak. I have never heard a coach say, including myself, when you're playing catch, watch the ball come out of the hand. Think about that. We've been in a game that long and we've never heard that. Now, there may be people that have said it, but I've never heard it. And I think it's outstanding. So coaches, hope you're listening. You know, we stress on the show that, you know, you can learn at any age, any time, doesn't matter how much experience, there's always something better out there. And that's why we talk about bringing guys on a show that are innovative, outside the box thinkers, but also guys that have done the research. And obviously Ryan and his dad have done the research. Let's talk about vision a little bit. Maybe I'll back it up. Young kids, they need to go see their eye doctor. They, you know, every year, once a year. I mean, if we're talking about vision, how, you know, why are we not emphasizing, you know, get your eyes checked all the time?
Well, you know, that's a good thought. And, you know, even outside of sports, even in school, kids don't get their eyes checked nearly enough. And, you know, I'm not an optometrist. Dr. Bill is. Actually, my sister is an optometrist as well. But definitely... you know, that's the first thing that you want to make sure is that their vision is corrected properly. There's definitely a lot of kids who are out there, and I've seen them. Mom, dad bring the kid to me, and they're like, he just doesn't react right. There's nothing, there's something wrong. And I'll ask, did you get your eyes, have he had his eyes checked? And they said, no. And I'll just do a simple screening. And I, more times than not, that is part of the problem, that their clarity is off or one eye is off more than the other. So, you know, it is recommended on a yearly basis, you know, especially as an older age, but even younger kids, to have a good vision exam to make sure there is no problems on there.
Now, we're going to get later to the training aspect of it, but let's stay on hitting. You know, they say hitting is one of the most difficult things to do in a sport. You know, I think sometimes that could be debated, because I'm not sure downhill skiing, it sounds as pretty tough, you know, and race car driving, you know, that's not easy. But as far as hitting is concerned, why is it so hard to hit a baseball?
Well,
from a vision standpoint,
obviously, there's not a lot of time to make a decision. And if you don't recognize properly, you're just guessing. And there's a lot of physical abilities that have to be there. But again, if you don't accurately identify what you recognize, it makes it a lot more difficult to hit. And I honestly don't believe, I believe a lot of people don't put enough emphasis in accurately identifying what they're seeing. Now, talking to major league guys versus single A guys versus college kids, you know, major league guys have a lot more understanding of the importance of trying to see the ball really well. Now, maybe because they've gone through all the other instruction, they've seen it, they've heard it all, the good, the bad, and now they know that this is what it is. But even, you know, other sports that I've had, is athletes are always looking for that extra percentage. And that's why I've had the privilege of working with a lot of top athletes, is they're looking for an edge and they're trying to figure out, hey, if I can see the ball well. In fact, this was a player that just told me this, major league player the other day. If I can see the ball well, I'm a good enough athlete to be able to do anything, what I want with it. And but I got to make sure that I'm seeing it well and understanding what it means to see the ball well, having an accurate vision, recognizing properly and making a good decision. But it is not easy. I think it's very difficult. I think we make it more difficult than it really is, but I believe it's a very difficult process.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim Cromer from Youth Baseball Talk. On this week's show, we were fortunate enough to sit down and talk to sports marketing legend Jim Darby from Easton Sports. Had a great conversation with Jim, and at the end of the conversation, you're going to find out why we all know the name Easton. You're also going to learn a little bit about some of the upcoming bat changes that are going to happen for our kids. To hear more from this marketing legend for one of the biggest and largest companies in the world when it comes to the game of youth baseball, just go to youthbaseballtalk.com and click on this week's episode. We'll see you on the field.
When you're seeing the ball come out of the hand, what does that do for you as a hitter? I'm talking about velocity, location, does it, timing, does it help all those things?
Definitely. I think there's a lot of different parameters that are involved in just seeing it early. And one of the things that we talk about is don't just see it early, but learn how to see the ball deep as well. Because what happens to a lot of people is they recognize it early, but they start their swing mode and their brain shuts off their vision. And they're not recognizing the late break and the pitches on there. So they're swinging at what they think that's coming, but not what they actually recognize. So it is a process of seeing it early and seeing it deep. And when they do that, you know, this is an easy thought, but you have a certain amount of distance from the pitcher's hand to the catcher's glove. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, depending on the how tall the pitcher is and all that how his arm length is. And if you don't pick that ball up early, you've shortened that distance. And if you don't see it deep, you've shortened that distance. And you want a short amount of time, or do you want as long as time as possible? Obviously, as long as possible.
Sure,
there.
Sure.
And so giving them that ability to understand, hey, I can pick that ball up out of the release point, but just as important, I can see that ball deep. And when I can do that, it gives me the most amount of time to see, process, speed, trajectory, angles, all the different visual stuff that you need to see to be able to make a good reaction.
So you can see the ball coming out of the hand, see it partially away, and actually lose it also before you even hit it?
Well, you know, think about this. There's plenty of examples, but the best example is the kid's head goes off and the shoulders open up. And mm-hmm. as a coach, we sit there, hey, keep your shoulders in,
right.
Or keep your head there. Well, the reality to me is keep your eyes there. Try to see the ball to contact. If they keep their eyes there, their shoulders are going to be there. Their swing's going to be there. But if they stop watching halfway, you know, that's if it's a fastball, they may get away with some things. But if any ball that's breaking, it makes it a lot more challenging.
So the eyes can control the head, the body. If they're watching the ball all the way to the bat.
Yeah, definitely. And even there's methods that the eyes, when the eyes get to the right spot early, to the release point, the body's on time. So it does have a lot to do with timing. So when people talk about getting your foot down or starting earlier, to me, it's usually a visual trigger. You know, if you think about this, Peter, the game, everything, whether it's hitting, whether it's fielding, we can debate on some other stuff, but fielding and hitting, it's everything begins with what they see and how they see it. Mm. And everything ends with what they see and how they see it. And so if their vision's not there at the right time, you can say speed up, but maybe their eyes aren't getting there. There's also some other issues that we probably won't get into, but it's really about their eye skills. And some people see balls further away. Some people see balls closer to them than the reality. That's how their brain processes information. So sometimes there may be a visual skill that's blocking them to recognize those pitches.
And you guys test for these type of things?
We do test for those. Definitely.
Okay. So we'll get some of that stuff on the website. Now, all the training that you do, how young should kids start, visually training? And we haven't gotten into the training yet, but how young should they start?
Well, I get the question a fair amount of times, hey, I got an 8-year-old superstar. Can you work with him? Well, unfortunately, I tend to work with older athletes and training the fine tuned skills. Mm-hmm. But there are some things that they can do at a young age. There's definitely, we have a software program that works with speed of recognition, speed of processing skills, and learning how to look for slight differences.
And that's something they can do at home.
That's something they can do at home.
Off the website.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of small ball machines. We use a machine called the Max BP that shoots high velocity wiffle balls. Mm-hmm. That is really good for the eye hand coordination. I think as from the coaching standpoint, is teaching them to understand what they see. It's easier said than done, but we take it for granted that they are seen, but if we can give them visual cues, even a simple question is, what were you looking at before getting down on them of what their error was? What were you thinking about before saying, hey, you screwed that one up? Finding out what their visual cue was and understand where they were seeing. If they weren't seeing the ball well, it doesn't really matter what their swing did.
Hmm. And you hear a lot of times you hear coaches say, they'll debate this, but I'm not sure it's really that important, but there may be some importance behind it that I'm not aware of. They say, you can see the ball hit the bat or you can't see the ball hit the bat. Don't worry about it either way. Science? What does science show us? And I mean, do we want, you mentioned you want to tell kids to see the ball hit the bat, even though they can't?
Well, I mean, that is a debatable situation. I'm not sure we'll ever be able to solve that equation because I don't think the science is out there to understand what a person sees or doesn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our brain creates images that aren't real, but it's just created it for us and we think it's real. Here's the deal. You need to try to see the ball hit the bat. You need to get your eyes as much as you can to contact point. Whether your brain sees it or whether you verbally see it is a big story. But the brain sees more than what we realize. Sometimes I'll see some things down the road and it's like, they don't come to me right away. I can't verbalize it right away. But it's like, I did see that. I know I saw it. And to debate me on that is a challenge to find out. So here's the thing. Now, on the other side of it, if we don't let those kids try to track the ball, if the eyes go out in a way, you'll see a lot of other mistakes. They'll miss a lot of pitches on there. And so we don't want to teach them that, keeping those eyes out.
Sure.
Like with the step, people talk about you can't see the last 6 to 8 feet. Well, if I'm a pitcher, I want that ball to break the last 6 to 8 feet.
Yeah.
I want it to break way out in front.
Right.
So I have to do my best to try to see it. And guys will tell you, I've seen the ball hit the bat. And there's times they'll tell you, no, I don't think I can. It's not a debatable thing. But on the other side of it is if you watch a guy break a brick, a karate guy, they're not going to look away. Mm-hmm. They're not going to look at a distance and try to hit it. They're going to look right through the brick and crack it. When they do that, that's where they have the most power. A good example in tennis is Roger Federer. If you pull up any images, Google image him, you'll see probably 90% of his pictures where his eyes are right around the contact point on there. Miguel Cabrera is another one. You Google him, you'll find a lot of pictures of him where his eyes are right there at contact, not what we call peaking on there.
Right.
So great players. Now, we're going to have those mistakes where the eyes peak a little bit and they'll probably hit a ball good, but we want those as mistakes and not consistency. So one of the things, and this is a good coaching moment right here, is to say, a phrase that I use is, let the bat lead your eyes out. Don't let your eyes lead the bat out.
Hmm. And when we talk about tracking, you're saying that the eyes will track the ball, and that then in turn will move the head to follow the ball also?
Well, you know, that's one of the problems is a lot of people want to do head movements,
right,
which causes a lot, there's some things in the brain going on with head movement, is we do want to have flexible eye muscles, which most of us don't, which can track more efficiently without head movement. Now, there will be some head movement, but that's going to be some natural head movement. We don't want a lot of head movement. We want to keep it as still as possible, but we want the eyes to go first and the head to go second.
So that's important to understand, because a lot of coaches, including myself in the past, have said, you know, when you track the ball, move your head back a little bit so that way you can see the ball better. So, yeah. And again, that's coaches not understanding, like myself, understanding the actual what happens vision-wise.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's, there's a lot of other factors within that, whether their eyesight's right or whether their depth perception's off or on. And at the same time, if they're taking a pitch, does it really matter if they move their head? Probably not.
And the old Pete Rose, remember?
Exactly.
Pete Rose, when he took a pitch, he watched it right into the glove. I mean, he really had head movement. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he had that when he hit.
Exactly. When he swung, it was a little different. So, again, I'm a big fan of trying to see the ball hit the glove and tracking it, because vision is based off learned experiences. And the more they see, the more they track, the better they're off.
But focus on your eyes doing that.
Yes.
I see. I love that. Now, you mentioned flexible eye muscles, which means a lot of guys don't have it. You can train for that?
Definitely. There's 14 muscles in the eye, 7 in each, 12 that are involved in tracking. And those muscles are, they could be considered very tight muscles. We can't really get them stronger, but we can get them more flexible, in a sense, kind of like yoga for your eyes. So there are some drills that we do, stretching drills, but also the tool that we use with our players that stretches those eye muscles has a lot to do with depth perception and how the brain uses both eyes as well. So it has a combination of the muscles as well as how the brain uses both eyes. And that's we call it our 3D depth perception and tracking trainer. In fact, we're just launching right now an iPhone and Android app
to do
some of the training.
And I was going to ask that because, you know, we're talking about, there's many type of coaches. There's three levels of coaches that we're talking about. Talking about volunteer coaches that could be your in-house, could even be some travel guys. You're talking about your high school, college coaches. Then you're talking about your professional coaches and national coaches around the country that also fit in these three categories. Well, they don't all have the time to do this or the expertise. So the question, I guess, and I think you answered part of it, with these apps, the kids could do it themselves or the coaches could emphasize it and put it as part of their training programs in their practice plans.
Correct. I mean, there's definitely off-the-field training and on-the-field training. And a lot of the stuff that we've tried to design is really off-the-field training. So it doesn't take away from on-the-field stuff that needs to happen. And but on the same note, then there's some on-the-field stuff that can combine with what coaches are already doing to put that visual emphasis.
And so you think, the coaches can do some of the drills you're talking about, using smaller wiffle balls, using machine with faster, smaller wiffle balls, some of the things you talked about earlier that they could actually do on the field, put in their practice plan, and then also use the apps to continue that training. Is this something, and again, I imagine the age doesn't matter. The sooner they start it, the better.
I don't know if it would say completely an age issue, but more of maybe a maturity level. Mm. Unfortunately, we have a lot of parents, fortunately and unfortunately, I guess, that want to push it onto their kids. And it's something that I think the kids have to put the energy that they want to get better.
Sure. But if you think about it, I'm thinking, little wiffle balls, even if they're not being thrown hard, at least they're a little harder to hit. And I'm talking about kids that are 11, 12 that are already hitting, mm-hmm. but this makes it more of a challenge for them.
Definitely.
And then makes them focus more with their vision.
Yeah, even the major league guys, they love it. They love hitting small stuff. Even all the Dominican players, they work with little bottle caps and, another disc. I can't even think what it's called right now. But, they're always, hitting beans and stuff like that. Aim small, miss small.
Now, can young kids, when they go to your website, they can look at this stuff and they can get the apps?
Yes, they'll be up on the website in the near future.
Okay, good, good. But again, this is important because, you know, the more we're talking about the vision aspect, the more it just sounds like that, you know, if you're going to become a better athlete and you're not training your vision, but yet it's tough because, you know, they don't have, you know, they got to decide when to do this. Do you, like, if they, when we talk about the apps, we talk about coaches, planning. I mean, if this is done 2-3 times a week, is that good enough?
There's definitely some stuff to do 2-3 times a week, and there's something to do every day to add to it. Now, you know, the nice thing about what we do with, from a vision perspective, is even if they don't become a professional baseball player, it helps them in their everyday life. It helps them in their reading skills, helps them in their, you know, processing skills. So it's a skill set that is they're training for them, not just for baseball, but for whatever sport they're playing or whatever the thing they choose to do in life.
Is vision part relative to attention span?
Definitely. You know, learn how to control your focus. And it's not easy. I'm not going to say it's the easiest thing to do. But there are definitely some kids that I know that when they do train their visual focus, their homework gets a little bit better. Their attention to detail from a schoolwork reading.
Listening to coaches better?
Good. You know, and definitely if they understand, you know, where they want to go with it. I think, you know, we all want kids to listen, but not every kid can listen, you know.
Yeah.
And understanding what they need to be successful.
Well, we had a group of kids yesterday. We were in Vancouver. We as soon as we flew in, we were working with about 50 kids, you know, 12 and under. You know, obviously their attention span's not there. I remember Ken Revisa telling me, you know, the one of the best sports psychologists around, because I didn't have great attention span either. And if I didn't have somebody when I'm listening to a speaker that wasn't very good, then I'd start to wander.
Yes.
You know, Ken would say, every time you catch yourself wandering, that's the time to tell yourself to go back to that person.
Yes.
I'm going back with my eyes.
Yes.
So we were telling the kids that, you know, it's a skill. You got to train yourself, right, to have a good attention span. But now I'm starting to understand how that relates to vision.
Yes.
More and more.
Yes. And that's the same thing from a hitter standpoint is you start wondering about what's he going to throw, what pitch, or mom's going to get mad at me, or coach is going to do this. And your attention span starts wandering, and then you got to try to hit a moving target. And when that target's moving and you don't see it real good, you don't see in your central focus, it's not easy. It can be done, but it's not easy.
You know, we're going to take a short break here in a second. But before we do, let's finish up with the hitting aspect in practice. You mentioned a couple things, and maybe there's a few more things you can recommend to the coaches and players. But, you know, during practice, before the game, what else can some of these guys do to kind of help themselves with their vision?
Well, I think the biggest tool for me is very simple to add, is hitting off a tee. When people hit off a tee, they're not very visual. They're very general. They're more worried about results. They're all looking at where the ball goes at the back of the net, and they're creating this bad habit visually. And so I try to make the tee work as visual as possible, whether it's what we call the no-look tee work, where they cannot look where the ball goes. And to be honest with you, they don't need to know where it goes visually. They know where it goes based off feel off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need to worry on really maintaining their focus at contact on tee work so that they can take it to the game. Now, even before that is BP, implementing the same thing, a no-look BP. Don't look where the ball goes. And just really focus on how well you see it to contact.
Well, I really like that. I'm glad you brought up the tee because, you know, we've got obviously a lot of young kids that will listen to the show also, and they think the tee is for only T-ball players. And we try to emphasize major leaguers use it. But you just brought up a good point about the tee. And when they're using the tee, you want them first looking out and then coming to the ball and not going back to see where it goes? Or do they start with their vision right on the ball?
Well, you know, here's the thing, Peter. I do this all the time with players is – they put the ball on the tee, they hit it, they put the ball on the tee, they hit it, they put the ball on the tee, hit it. Sometimes they put it the same direction, sometimes they don't. But I always ask them, what direction were the seams on that ball? And they look at me and go, what? And I say, well, how important is the ball? Oh, it's really important. But you didn't recognize your target. You put it on the tee, but it was general. And so what they can do is fine-tune their focus on a target. Find a nick, find a spot, find a letter, find a seam, whatever it is. And look at that spot. Go ahead and look out at it, you know, pretend to see a pitcher out there. And then when they come back, track the ball in, get their eyes to that spot, and try to see it as I make contact.
Do you want to change the seam around?
I'm a fan of changing it.
Oh, great.
Because creature habit, if you start putting the same direction, you get lazy.
Yeah, and plus it becomes a little bit more fun. I mean, you're not, you know, you're seeing something different. You're not always doing the same thing over and over.
It's like driving home from, you know, from the field. You know that route, you do it every day, and you get home, you're like, how'd I get here? I know the route, but I didn't really see anything. We get visually lazy. Now, if I took a different route every day, I'd probably be more visually stimulus.
Sure.
You know, and so getting that visual stimulus, and what I call is to reacquire your target. And whether it's, you know, a shooter who always reacquires what they're aiming at, but that's what we're doing as a hitter. We're trying to reacquire that baseball and trying to reacquire a focus on that ball.
Now, do you find when you're working with young kids, it's the drills that you're doing, are they instantly fun because it's a challenge, or do you have to make them fun also?
I think it's a combination of the two. I think, you know, here's the truth. And when they get visually focused, their swing usually takes care of itself.
Yeah.
And they start doing the things they want to do. But at the same time, you know, even with big league guys, I visually challenge these guys to make it tough on them, to challenge them. And there's definitely players who will sit there and melt and go away and not want to be challenged. And there's other guys who are like, you know what, I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to figure out how I can, you know,
see the ball better.
See the ball better and win at this.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, listen, let's we appreciate Ryan being on the show. We're going to be right back with him. At this time, let's take a short break to mention a couple of our sponsors. But first thing, make sure you go to Ryan's website, slowthegamedown.com. Again, that's slowthegamedown.com. You're going to get a lot of great information there. You can also email Ryan there. I was on the site this morning looking at some things. And not to mention, let's not forget Amazon. If you can't, go to our website, click on Amazon. Click on the banner. It doesn't cost you anything. It gives us a little credit, helps us, you know, keep the show going, and that's Amazon.com. You can also check out my drills book, which is about, you got about 100 games and drills on my book on Amazon. If you're interested in the seven set baseball DVD that I have, has over 100 drills, skills, and descriptions of games, just email me at petercaliendo@icloud.com. You can get the email also on our website. I'll mention that later. Mention Ryan Harrison that you listen to the show, and we'll give you a discount on those DVDs, a very good one. Don't forget to go to iTunes and Stitcher, help us out, at, or any major podcast outlet, and click subscribe. If you really like the show, give us a 5-star rating. Tell us what you like about the show. If you didn't like the show, email us and let us know why. If you didn't like your host, don't email at all. No, you can email me anytime. Let me know if I need to be doing something different when it comes to the show.
This has been The Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo, a Lineup Media Group production. Get access to all of our podcasts like Youth Baseball Talk, You're on the Clock NFL, and Let's Get It On with famed MMA referee Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock. Online at lineupmediagroup.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.